Last week was awesome. Great service, great time, and just to come in and see life change and experience life change and watch those people get baptized. And it was just, you know, it's great to stand up and watch people stand in front of the world and say, you know what, Jesus is my best friend and my Savior. And you know, but sometimes, you know, we go through all these things, and sometimes when we get in those places, you know, it almost creates this thing like we've almost got it all going on and everything's just really good. And so today I'm not, please don't take away from the powerful point of that, but today I kind of want to bring us back to a point today, and you guys know I'm all about being real and reality. You know, Crosspoint Church is about pointing people to a real relationship with the real God. And I've just kind of been praying, and actually probably I've been going through today just a little bit of what I'm going to talk about. And I know that many of you probably either have or are too, and if you haven't or you aren't, you will. But to be honest, for most of us, and a lot of times even most of our life, we spend that time stuck in the middle of life. And when I say stuck, I mean really stuck. And you know, just you can't move, you don't want to move. Maybe you don't even have the desire to move. There could be all kinds of different things going on, and it could be in the middle of worry and faith. It could be in the middle of right and wrong. It could be in the middle of sin and unholy. You know, and that's a pretty tough place to be, by the way. I was actually going to preach a message. The message that I thought I was going to preach this week was, remember when I made the statement last week on the scripture that said that there's no temptation, that God will not provide us a path? Remember I talked about the path? So I got to thinking about the path and thinking about this road, because the Bible says, Jesus says, narrow. Narrow is that road. Do you know something? Man, this, and I'm going to preach this someday, I promise you, but as I'm sitting here thinking about the concept of being stuck between sin and holy, we think we have to be perfect to walk that road. And the moment that we're not, we have no business being on that road. And Jesus also talks about the gate. And he is the gate, by the way, to that road. And sometimes we make ourselves that gate. And so when we're sitting here talking about trying to live a life of holiness, and we're stuck in the middle because we know we've made mistakes and we know that we've sinned or we know that we've messed up, and it just gets us stuck right in the middle of this journey with Christ. And God doesn't want us to be there. He really doesn't. Anger and peace. Boy, that's a tough one. Circumstances, we're going to talk about circumstances today, add to that. Sadness and joy, confusion and certainty, and for some of us, it's knowing God and walking away. We get stuck right smack dab in the middle. And that's pretty deep, and you know, really, knowing God or just completely walking away. And I'm not saying this to be a downer, I'm just being real, because life's not perfect, we know that. Okay, life changes from moment to moment. We've seen that. And today there are many people stuck in the middle because of brokenness, because of hurt, because of questions, because of fear. It could be, you know, whatever going on in your life, and it's a scary place to be, okay? So today I just really want to just, if you'll just stay with me, I'm going to share a couple stories in the Bible today. One in particular out of the book of John. And it's about a man who he had this condition, and he had this condition for a long time. The Bible says 38 years. He was an invalid. And so we're going to pick this up, and I want to show you this, and it's in John chapter 5. And I'm going to read the story really quick, and then I'll go back through it in a few places this morning and kind of touch on a couple things. It is one of my favorite stories because there's a lot of lessons. I preached this scripture several times, but there's a lot of lessons that come, and that's what I like about the Bible, by the way. It's really cool because, and I've shared this before, you can read a verse one day and God speaks something to you, and then you can turn around and read the same verse the next day and God speaks something totally different. And God showed me something this week, and I always love this, especially in scriptures that I've read before, when he just takes one little thing and he shows you something different, and I'll share that with you here after a while, and you know, it's just pretty exciting. But this is how the story goes. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals, and now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades, or five covered porches, okay? Here is a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And the verse 8 says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.'" So here was a man, 38 years he'd been in this condition, okay? That's a long time. Lying by this pool and, you know, with others who were sick and waiting for this healing. And that's what he was doing. He was at this particular point doing this. He was stuck in the middle of sickness and healing. That's where he was for 38 years. Now, the Bible doesn't say how long that he actually went to this pool. It doesn't give us that idea of necessarily a time frame. We don't know, you know, but I have to believe that it was for quite some time because of some of his responses to Christ. And so, you know, we know that this was probably a part of his life. And so this morning, you know, as we look at this man and how he was stuck in this condition, I want to talk about three things really quickly. And that kind of keep us stuck in the middle of life or stuck in the middle of this whole thing, this walk with God or not to walk with God or whatever you might be stuck in the middle of today. These three particular things, I believe, as we look at this story, because these are things that I see from this man. And the first one is this. I believe our circumstances keep us stuck in the middle. Your circumstances. This man had some pretty severe circumstances, some physical circumstances. And you know, for 38 years, he was a part of this circumstance. And you know, but I know this, regardless if you're stuck in a circumstance for 38 years, 38 days, or 38 minutes, it's a big deal. And we look at this, and this is a long time for him to be dealing with it. I don't care how long it is. It could be 38 seconds. It could have just happened. And that circumstance is a big deal. And right now, this morning, as I share with you, I want you to know that I'm not downplaying circumstances. You're going to hear me say this a lot this morning. Because I never want to be disrespectful for what you're going through or where you are. In the same way, I wouldn't want you to be disrespectful for what I'm going through or where I've been or where I'm stuck. Because I'm going to be really honest with you this morning. Standing before you as your pastor, there's a circumstance going on in my life right now that I'm kind of stuck. And I'll tell you right up front where I'm stuck between. And you, some of you may step back and go, wow, that's kind of... But I am stuck between faith and doubt. I'm just being honest and real, okay? And you say, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to have all the faith in the world. I'm human. And especially when that circumstance is dealing with a situation or somebody that you love very much, even when you know God and believe God, sometimes because of those circumstances, we get caught with these thoughts in our mind. Like, God, are you really going to show up? I know that you can show up, and I know, and it's tough. It's hard. Your circumstances just grip you, and they just grab you and consume you, and it's just, man, it's hard. It could be whatever. You know, I shared my realization with you, but regardless of how long you're stuck, it's real. Sometimes sickness, sometimes tragedy, sometimes a family situation, sometimes our job keeps us stuck. That's our circumstance, you know, and sometimes it's just life. And some circumstances we don't even have any control over. You know, there are some circumstances that we get ourselves stuck, and we're responsible for placing ourselves exactly where we are in life, but sometimes it's not even in our control. We have to deal with other people's mistakes that put us there. And I'll even show you here in a little bit, in God's Word, where I believe even when we're obedient to God and we do what God asks us to do, sometimes we end up getting stuck. And I'll show you that here in just a little bit. So think about this, all these things. Think about this. Your job's going bad. You're stuck in the middle of knowing you have to work, but you don't want to go. You ever been there? Boy, I have. Not recently. I love my jobs. I do. But I've been there. You wake up every morning, you wake up every morning and you dread going to work and you're stressed out all the time. You come home at night and you lay your head down dreading to go to sleep because you know when you wake up you're going to have to go to work, okay? You don't want to go, you're stressed out, you know, between stressed out and being happy, and you hold it in or you take it out on your family. I'm telling you, man, being stuck in the middle of a circumstance is a tough, tough situation. Or maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's yours or someone you love, and you're stuck in the middle of faith and question or peace and pain or knowing God is there and asking where he is in the middle of trust and why. And that's a pretty real one, but that's just being pretty honest because that's just, you know, and if we allow it, and I'm going to stress allow, and as we get on through this morning, you'll kind of see, if we allow it, we can stay stuck in the middle of our circumstances for most of our life. We can. You say, well, Pastor Ron, you don't know. No, I don't. I don't know exactly where you are, but you don't know exactly where I am. And it's a choice. For the last couple of days, I've been stuck in the middle of a circumstance. And it has affected me. And my wife yesterday, my mother yesterday, all day, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And it does, it affects me, just like it affects you. And you know, this morning, last night, I'm asking for the last two or three days, I've just been consumed with it and just going through and thinking thoughts and all these different things. And this morning, as I'm driving to church this morning, and just whatever it's worth, you know, I had one of those almost audible moments. God said, today you can choose to sit in your circumstance or you can choose to worship me. And that was really real, but I thought, okay, I just assume worship you today. And it was just like this peace just kind of overcame me. And it was just amazing, stuck in the middle of our circumstances. Number two, excuses keep us stuck. Excuses keep us stuck. So here was this man, sick for 38 years, had this condition, and Jesus asks him, do you want to get well? I mean, seriously, Jesus walks up to you today and says, hey, man, you want to get well? Yes! But if you look at this story, that's not his response. And in verse 7, it says this, I mean, Jesus says, do you want to get well? Red letters, that's the words of Jesus. He says, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. It's excuses. And for really what it is, you say, well, Pastor Ron, he was an invalid. Okay. I know a lot of people that struggle with a lot of physical ailments, you know, and it is. Some things they can do, some things they can't. I'm not trying to go there. But this guy, there was no faith involved, which we're going to talk about that in a minute. This is Jesus standing in front of him. He says, excuses, one excuse after another. And you know, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool. Someone's getting in front of me. And his excuses became his attitude. And you know something? And talking about this for just a second, okay, this kind of becomes our attitude when we get stuck in these. Because we start talking about things like, well, it's their fault. Look what they've done. How come they get blessed all the time? They've got a good job. I'm not as good as they are. God wouldn't ask me to do that. And an excuse after excuse after excuse. And I'm going to get just a little bit hard for just a second. So love me when I'm done. People are blaming being stuck in the middle on everything from bad parenting to lousy government to bad schools to bad jobs to bad bosses to bad husbands to bad wives. And it's just one thing after another. And when we point the finger at someone else or something else, we keep the spotlight off of ourselves. And that's real. I mean, honestly, listen, I do that. I've been guilty of that. I don't want to have to deal with what I'm dealing with. I want to have to deal with the stuff that's going on in my life. And our excuses keep us caught or stuck in this middle. And Jesus, listen, he does not want us, and he didn't want me this morning wallowing in my circumstance, wallowing in my excuses, because I could have come up with every single one of them. As soon as he spoke that to me this morning, I said, but God, this is what I'm dealing with. And he didn't ask for an excuse. He didn't ask for a but. He asked for me to trust him and have faith in him, even in the middle of the circumstance, to love him enough and trust him enough to worship him regardless. He comes to us just as he did the crippled man, and he says, would you like to get well? And this is a very sobering question. Think about this, because this thing has huge, profound implications. I know I'm being kind of really out front and bold, but just, man, I'm serious. Just love me. When we're ready to quit making excuses and willing to trust and obey God, then and only then can we begin to experience change. Now, I didn't say, now listen, notice experience. It is a process. Getting yourself unstuck, it's just like getting a truck stuck. And I have been stuck. Usually I get stuck, and it's no joke. Most of the time when I used to get stuck, it was going fishing, because you wanted to get to that very perfect fishing hole. And you would do whatever, I would do whatever it took. I would go places, man, I went in some places that was just ridiculous. Knowing that when you went to them, you were going to get stuck, and you got stuck. And you know what usually happened? It ruined my whole trip. Because instead of fishing and catching fish, I was digging and slopping through mud, and you know, it just stuck. But listen, getting unstuck is a process. You know, it takes some work. Sometimes you got to get down. You got to dig through some mud. You know, you got to crawl in places that you don't want to crawl and lay in stuff that you don't want to lay in to hook a chain underneath. I mean, I laid one time. I was down at Haskins Ford, and I was stuck back in the cucklebur hole, and I mean, it was deep, and I mean, it was plumb to the bumper, and I literally had to get down and lay half of my head in a mud puddle just to reach underneath and wrap a chain around the back axle so somebody could pull me out. It was nasty, but I got unstuck. It's a process. And it begins with making, I mean, you just can't stand there. I wouldn't have just looked, well, get unstuck. And you look at your vehicle and get unstuck. I remember one day I was backing out in the yard. I was unloading a trampoline that my kids wanted me to buy, and I bought it. And I walked out in the yard, and it felt pretty solid, but guess what? It wasn't. And I sunk. There's still ruts in my backyard from me sinking. And I tried to get unstuck. I tried to pull myself out with another vehicle, and it didn't work. I ended up calling Danny, and he's over there with his big Yoda and the winch on the front, and we finally get it out. It was a process. The processes have to be begun. We don't change, or we don't get unstuck just from standing there looking at the situation, hoping that we're free. And once again, please know I am not and will never play down your situation or circumstance. I will never place myself in your shoes. I don't believe. Now, I'll sympathize with you. If our situations are similar or our circumstances are similar, I can get pretty close to how you're feeling or what you're going through. But your circumstance is still unique, and I know that they're real. I know they're real. But I also know this. I know it's a choice. You know, I watched my parents, and, you know, I say this a lot, but, man, this speaks. I watched my parents lose my sister, and I watched their pain and their suffering, and I watched my mother fight with God, and I watched them being stuck in the middle of this circumstance. I'm just going to be real, and if she was here today, if my parents were here, I'd say this. I never heard no excuse. I heard some real conversations with God, but I never heard that. And you know what? They're not stuck in the middle today. Do they still miss her? Absolutely. But it was their choice to begin to get out of that situation. The worst of situations and I hope I never experience it. But it was a choice. And you know what? Today, they're not stuck. They're not. But it wasn't something they just came out of. It was a choice. It was a daily thing. And in their situation, it lasted a long time. It took them a long time to get to that place. But their faith in God stood strong, and eventually they climbed their way out. And I know circumstances are real. I know life is real and storms are real. I mean, we face that all the time, but so is God. God is real. His power is real. His love is real. His faithfulness, his grace, and his mercy, it is real. His forgiveness is real. His compassion is real. And sometimes we just have to stand up in the middle of the storms of life and say, yes, I want to be well. Sometimes when Jesus says, do you want to get well? You know, we've got to lay the excuses down. But Jesus, this is going on. But this is going on. Sometimes we just got to throw that down. And your humble and my humble answer just needs to be yes. No excuses, no blame. God, please calm the storm or calm me. Healing takes time. Getting unstuck takes time, but he'll never leave you or forsake you. Number three, ultimately, I mentioned faith just a minute ago. Faith, or the lack thereof, keeps us stuck. God's word, I love this, Hebrews 11:1, and this is verse in God's word translation. It says, faith assures us of things that we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. I'll leave that up there for just a second to read that. Faith assures us of things we expect. Remember, I told you a while ago when in my circumstance, I expect God to move. I know God can move. But there's a second part of that that convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see, that assures us that God is in control, that assures us that God is right there in the middle of your circumstance, right there in the middle of your situation, and that faith that this verse describes, we can have. We can live. But it's still tough. Because if you go back to circumstances, they can certainly affect our faith. Amen? They can. They do. Ain't no can. They do. They do. If you go back to the man at the pool, when Jesus asked him if you want to get well, you could tell his faith was weakened just because of his response. You know, these people won't help me. How in the world am I going to get from there? Here's this man standing up in front of me saying, you know, you want to get well, do you want to be healed? And it's just like, man, I just don't see how that's going to happen. It hasn't happened up until this point. Why is it going to happen now? What makes you any different than the last person that walked by me? And so we get all of these things, and it starts to tug at our faith. And can I just tell you, and I shared this with our team this morning, it is real easy for me to stand up here and say this. It is really hard to walk down there and sit down in a chair and live this. It is. Just like it's easy for me to speak this to you, but it's hard for you to take it and live it. Listen, I understand that. I completely understand that. Even when Jesus is talking about you or to you. But Jesus, because these are our, Jesus, you know how much I hurt. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand what this person has done to me or my family. You don't understand how big of a jerk my boss is. That's always a funny one. You don't understand how many times I've blown it. You don't understand how many times I've done what you did not want me to do. You don't understand how many times that I've sinned. You don't understand my circumstances. Yes, he does. He knows everything. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've gone through. He knows exactly where you are. He knows your prayers. He knows your cries. He knows everything. I mean, he knows that. And I believe this. Jesus stands today in this place for every single one of us today and asks us the same question as he did this invalid man so many years ago. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Jesus' response to this man was very bold and profound. And if you look at verse 8, it says, Jesus said, get up. That's an exclamation point, by the way. And that is not just a grammar thing. That there is authority and there is power in the voice of Jesus at that statement. He just didn't walk up to that man and say, get up. He walked up and said, get up. If you want to get well, then get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Here is what Jesus, God, spoke to me this week new. Why didn't he ask him to leave the mat there? I'll think about that for just a second. Here's this guy, had these issues, 38 years, and he's probably laid on this. I don't know how long he's laid on it, but I have to imagine he's laid on it for a long time. This mat was a part of that circumstance. If Jesus is walking up to this guy and wanting to set him free for what's binding him, why does he say, pick up your mat? Why don't he just say, get up and walk? And I got to thinking about this, and I don't know, God's speaking this to me, and maybe it's just a little bit out there thinking, and whatever, but this is what I know. Sometimes we have to stand up, even knowing what our circumstances are, and trust God enough to keep walking. Regardless, listen, and that's hard. I understand that that's hard. If I was this guy, I'd want to leave that stinking mat there. But he said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. That mat was a part of his circumstance. And sometimes we got to stand up even in the middle of our circumstances and trust him. Sometimes that healing, sometimes that freedom means standing up even when we're not exactly free yet. It's a process. Circumstances will occur. Life will always happen. But when Jesus says, get up and walk, you may just have to get up while still attached to some of those circumstances. And that speaks to me. You know why it speaks to me? Because my circumstance this morning isn't over. It's not over. This morning, I still have the same feelings in my heart that I had last night. This morning, I still have the same struggles with that circumstance right now. I still have the same worry right now. But I chose this morning to come to this place to worship God. It was my choice. Even though I've got my mat in my hand. Even though. Your healing and your deliverance or your new job or your better marriage or your new attitude or your freedom does not hinge on our circumstances. It hinges on Jesus. John 5:9. At once the man was cured and he picked up his mat and he walked. He picked up his mat and he walked. Because at this moment the man forgot his circumstances. And he focused on Christ, and it was a choice. He could have stayed down, he could have stayed stuck in the middle of his circumstances, but he chose to get up, grab a hold of his circumstances, and walk. I don't know this morning what any of you might be dealing with. I don't know maybe what has you stuck. If it's something that I've said this morning or maybe something that I haven't said, I don't know. But I know Jesus today, I believe, is speaking pretty boldly. Do you want to get well? Do you want to begin that process of getting well? But to do that, we have to start focusing on Christ more than our circumstances. It's time to stop making excuses. Living on life support faith. And get up and walk. And I want us to face this morning. Is your circumstance this morning, is it excuses? Is it lack of faith? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's failure. By the way, the only people that fail are the ones that fail to get up. There's nothing wrong with falling. If you fail, at least it meant you tried. Sometimes we get caught up, well, I just can't do that. I've tried this before. We'll try again. I've tried to live for God before. We'll try again. Try again. Don't stay down. Don't stay stuck, because that's what happens. When we start getting, that's an excuse. It is. Well, I've tried to do this before and I've blown it. Okay, so you've blown it. You know what? I have too. Get up and walk. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's tragedy. Maybe it's loss. Maybe it's confusion. Whatever the reason, whatever the storm, Jesus is there. Bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. This morning, I know that we're in this place, and I know that this has been pretty bold, and I know for some of you it's caused maybe having to think or bring back up a thought or a circumstance or something. Maybe you're smack dab in the middle of one right now. I mean, right in the middle of it. And this morning, I'm going to boldly ask you to keep it right in front of your face. Ask you to face it, not to hide from it, and to truly sit there and just almost visualize Jesus standing in front of you and asking that very simple question, do you want to get well? Think about the place that you're stuck in for just a few moments. Don't focus on anybody else or anything else. And just let him speak to you. Somewhere between hot and cold. Somewhere between the new and the old. Somewhere between who I am and who I used to be. Somewhere in the middle you'll find me. Somewhere between the wrong and the right. somewhere between darkness and the light. Somewhere between who I was and who you're making me. Somewhere in the middle you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in a shallow way. We are caught in the middle, that's wide open to the differences. The God we want and the God who is. Will we trade our dreams for Him, or are we caught in the middle? Are we caught in the middle? Somewhere between my heart and my hands. Somewhere between my faith and my plans. Somewhere between the safety of the boat and the crashing waves. Somewhere between whisper and a roar. Somewhere between the altar and the door. Somewhere between intended peace and always wanting more. Somewhere in the middle you'll find. How close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in a shallow way. We are caught in the middle, that's wide open to the differences. God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for His? Or are we caught in the middle? We're fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end. We are caught in the middle, eyes wide open to the differences. The God we want and the God who is. Will we trade our dreams for Him, or are we caught in the middle? Lord, I feel You in this place. I know You're by my side, loving me even on these nights. When I'm caught in the middle, caught in the middle, see, it's not if, it's when you're caught. And realizing that Jesus knows exactly where you're caught and loves you anyway. He knows your circumstances. He knows the hurt and He knows the pain. He knows. So this morning, somewhere in the middle of your life, somewhere in the middle of a circumstance, maybe that's where you are. Because just as the disciples were being tossed in the storm and caught in the middle of the sea, Jesus was there and His peace was with them, and it will be with you too. Even though we may have times in our lives where we feel stuck, we don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. I don't have to stay there. This morning, I'll give you one very profound, simple way to freedom. And as simple as it is, sometimes it's the hardest thing to do in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of being stuck, in the middle of when storms come and when fear comes and when circumstances come and when hurt comes and when confusion comes. You want to be free? Worship. Worship. Does it mean your circumstance is gone? No. Does it mean it's going to be easy? No. It doesn't. It means it's a choice. I want to read you a story in the Bible just really quickly before we close. And you remember I told you earlier that sometimes our circumstances have nothing to do with us. There's a couple guys named Paul and Silas. And they were stuck in the middle of their circumstances, and they were actually stuck because they were doing what God had asked them to do. And see, Paul, at this particular time in this story, he was doing God's work, and you know, and he was preaching the word, and people's lives were being changed. And so, you know, and then one night he had a vision. And he had a vision of a man from Macedonia. And this man in this vision cried out to him, "Help. We need your help." And so Paul, knowing that that was a vision from God, acted on that. And he began this journey. And so on this journey, Paul and Silas, they had this encounter with this crazy woman. Had this spirit in her. Could tell the future. No offense to any ladies. I'm just telling this. If you read the Bible, she was pretty crazy. And so Paul got tired of it. Because what was happening was, is this woman was a slave to these men, and these men knew that she had this spirit, and they made money off of her. But Paul knew it wasn't right. And on this journey, Paul confronts this lady and says, "I'm done with this," and he casts this spirit out of her. And she's fine, and the men see that she's fine, and they know that Paul has ruined their livelihood. And so these men, they start this big upheaval to have them arrested, and they are. They're arrested, and they came, and they get them, and they seize them, and then it was ordered that they be stripped and beaten to within an inch of their life, and then shackled and chained in prison. And we do sometimes, by the way, get stuck doing what God wants us to do. Now, I would say their circumstances were pretty bad, amen? Pretty bad. I wouldn't want to be in the middle of it, I can promise you. But they didn't focus on their circumstances. There were no excuses made, and there was certainly no lack of faith. And in chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, it says this: "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake, that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose." In the middle of their circumstances, their choice was to worship. And they didn't do it alone. You trust me? Most every bit of this came from last Saturday when you stood right here and you chose. It was a choice. I watched this lady and this man and their family had every reason not to. They chose to stand with their hands raised to God in the middle of their circumstances, no excuses, and worship him. Does it make the pain any less? No. The hurt any less? No. But it sure gives you the strength to stand up and walk. Amen? Whatever your circumstances are this morning, I'm going to give the opportunity for you to worship yourself, begin to worship yourself into freedom. You will not do it alone. And for some of you this morning, it's going to mean sucking up some pride, laying it down, being bold, but it's your choice. Do you want to get well? Then get up. With every eye opened and every head looking at me this morning, before we go any farther, if you're in this place today and you just feel stuck in life, I see you. I see that too. I see all of them. You ain't even waiting for me. Anybody stuck without Jesus? And know that you know that that's where it needs to start? Anybody? Okay. Then this morning, in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of whatever you're going through, because regardless, I believe Jesus wants to set you free and begin that process. You may have to pick up your mat. You may have to pick up your mat. You may have to pick up part of that circumstance and carry it with you. But by all means, get up and walk towards freedom. Jesus gives light in dark places. He is hope. He will restore every broken heart. He will give life where there is no life. Great is the Lord. So this morning, once again, it's a choice, your choice. If you're at that place, you're stuck, and you're ready to begin the process of getting unstuck towards and just getting out, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. Be bold. Now, so it's not weird, I'm going to ask everybody else to stand up. Because you may have still been sitting down and wanting to stand up. Well, now you're standing up. I'm going to ask you to grab the hand of the person next to you. If no one has a hand, then grab a shoulder, whatever. If somebody's in front, whatever. Regardless of your circumstances, for the next few moments, we worship together. We fight together. We pray together. We stand together. We get up together. And we choose to worship our way towards freedom. Regardless of our circumstances, no excuses, no life support faith, believing that Jesus will never leave us, never forsake us, and knows exactly where we are. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for freedom. And God, this morning, I know this, just by the people that stood up and raised their hands, I know that there are people this morning going through circumstances. God, that there's situations in our lives that just have us stuck. Just have us stuck. But God, I know this morning, I believe this, that as we stand together as a body, as we stand together connected and in unity, God, that we can begin to worship. And God, I believe this. I believe chains will begin to fall off. I believe the process of freedom, God, for many people today will begin. God, it's our choice. May we stand together, worship together, and live free together.